So we are joining Jesus in his mission of helping people find their way back to God. We're followers, making followers of Jesus. And if you're new with us, maybe that's a new phrase to you, followers, making followers, but that's truly who we are. And we are applying God's strategy to accomplish his mission, and that strategy is a strategy of blessing others, being a blessing. So each week we're looking at five missional markers that help us practice this blessed strategy, and each letter stands for one of those practices. So today, this is the last letter of the bless, and we're going to walk through and see if we remember what those letters mean. So does anyone remember what the B in bless stands for? Oh, we're going to have another five-week series, I guess, here. Begin with prayer. There we go. Thank you, Jeff. Are those coming up there? Okay. Begin with prayer. So we start with getting with the heart of God and asking God, where do you want me to bless others that are around me in my life? And everything we do is in that connection with God. It begins with prayer. So the L, do you remember what the L stands for? Listen. Very good. Listen with care. And so listening to the people that God places in our midst, to hear their stories and see where God is at work in their lives. And then the E stands for eating. That's right, eating with others. And we can all do this one because we all eat, right? And so we eat and share meals and share hospitality and develop those relationships with others as we sit around the table. It's an amazing thing when we share a meal. And then the S, remember what the first S stands for? Serve, exactly. Serve with love. We ask, what are the practical ways that we can be the blessing in someone's life by serving their needs, and really to allow that to be reciprocated in our lives, to allow others to serve us back. And then the last one, and maybe the scariest for most of us, this last S in bless stands for sharing your story. You're right, sharing your story. So doing that, sharing our story, that sometimes could feel awkward or uncomfortable or unnatural. You know, we think to ourselves, I don't know what to say. I wouldn't know how to share my story. I'm not sure if people would be interested. And then what if I can't answer the questions they have to ask me? You ever feel that way? What if they're going to ask me? So let me encourage you. There's some recent data. This is coming out in a new study here. It talks about some, I think, astounding good news for us in sharing our personal stories. It says this, that for those who are not churched, for those who are not yet followers of Jesus, half of them say that they would attend a worship service if someone invited them to come. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? Half of the people we asked, you know, one out of two would actually come to church with us. And this one I love, 75% of those who are far from Jesus, who aren't yet followers, would say that their friends don't talk enough about their faith. Does that surprise you? It surprises me. 75% of those who don't yet know God say that that their friends don't talk to them enough about their faith. In other words, people want to know what it means for you to have that relationship with God. And this one is interesting. 1.5%, so one out of 100 really, they say that they do give their Christian friends a hard time when they share their faith. So in other words, we think about the persecution of Christians. For those that are close to us, you know, dealing with friends who don't yet know Christ, they're not going to give you a hard time about it. They actually want to know about our faith. So that's good news. So when we hear that, is there anything that's holding you back from sharing your story about Jesus? You know, in the passage today, it feels like proclaiming Jesus was the most natural thing for this crowd to do. I mean, they just let it out. They shouted and celebrated. You know, this all these people are following Jesus on their way to Jerusalem for the big Passover celebration. And Jesus is fulfilling these prophecies. There's lots of excitement in the air. They're caught up in this fervor of the Messiah, the King of Kings coming. And so they shout and they worship and they proclaim Jesus as the Messiah. In verse 7, we read again, they brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on, and a very large crowd spread them cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them out. And the crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." It's kind of a phrase that used to mean God saves, but it was became a phrase of joy and welcome as they entered Jerusalem. And so when Jesus entered, the whole city was stirred and asked, good question, who is this? And the crowds answered, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. There's a parallel passage in Luke, meaning the same story in the Gospel of Luke. Luke says that Jesus explains to the Pharisees and the religious leaders what is going on when they begin to question him and tell him, you know, you got to make these people be quiet. They're calling you, you know, like Lord, like King of Kings. This isn't right. They didn't believe in him. And Jesus' response was in verse 40, I tell you, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. If all those who are proclaiming Jesus don't speak up, even the rocks around will tell the truth. This is the Messiah. This is the King of Kings. You know, Jesus, those that are following can't keep this in. This is just something that's within them. This is part of who they are. This is their understanding of their faith that Jesus is the one. And they have to shout it out. This is such a profound truth that even the rocks would shout if the people were silenced. So how about us? Is Jesus such a profound truth in your life that there's nothing that will hold back your story about how Jesus has at work in your life? Is there anything holding you and I back from telling others about Jesus? You know, it seems like, as a follower of Jesus, that this should be the most natural thing we could do, doesn't it? Share our story. So how can we make it that way? How can we make it natural? How can we make it normal to tell others about our story, about following Jesus? You know, Rick Richardson, in his book, Reimagining Evangelism, Inviting Friends on a Spiritual Journey, he invites us to think about a different way of what it means to share our faith. He says, sometimes talking about Jesus with your friends can feel like you're trying to close a deal, a sales call, or pushing something on people that they don't really want. I think we all feel that way sometimes. You know, here's my faith, and you know, you gotta hear this. But what if you thought of it more like inviting someone on a spiritual journey? Imagine being free to be yourself, free for the Spirit to work in you. Imagine that it doesn't depend on you alone, but that you can be an important part of a witnessing community. He continues, imagine telling people stories instead of trying to download content. Here's your invitation to reimagine what evangelism could be for you. So what does that look like? You know, this week, my story is kind of interesting to me. I was at a Vitality coaching seminar in Chaska at the beginning of the week, and the morning devotion was Psalm 46. We read it over several times and reflected on it, and this psalm has been a recurring theme in my life recently. It had become very important several years back when Cheryl and I went on a retreat, a renewal retreat. And this psalm spoke to me, in fact, so much that we actually wrote it on the wall in our living room so that when I sit down, I can look at that psalm. And we used it in a call to worship recently here at the church. And as I reflected on this psalm, it again spoke to me. And the psalm says, 46:10-11, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. And then the next phrase, the Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. And really, as I reflected on that this week, it really is at the heart of my faith journey with God. You know, I didn't know God at one point, and I was at a point in my life when I needed to know if God was real. I mean, it seemed like I had no other hope, and I called out, God, if you're real, save me. And at that very moment, God met me, and I knew without a shadow of a doubt that God was real and that I knew him in Christ. And so from that moment, in the times in my life when things have been difficult, and even when things are going good, I have this deep and profound sense. I know that God is with me, that God is real. There was a time when I was thinking about getting married, moving on in my life, and I wasn't having much success in that role of finding a companion. And, you know, I'm sure it wasn't me, but it just wasn't working. And so I remember praying and turning that over to God and saying, you know, Lord, I'm just going to give this to you. I would love to have a wonderful, believing wife, but, you know, it's in your hands. And within 6 months, I met Cheryl, and that has been a blessing, and I know that God is with us. God is in my life. In times financially, when things would get difficult, and I wasn't quite sure where that was heading, I remember praying and asking God to help, and time and time and time again, provision would come, and I just had this deep and profound sense that God is with me, that God cares for me, and that through Christ, I know him. I remember a mission trip that I was called to be on. I just felt this deep calling to go to Guatemala with the mission trip that the church was doing, and it was, you know, fairly expensive. We had four kids at home, and this was before seminary. I didn't really think that it was possible, but I just felt the need to go, and we prayed about it, and I committed, yes, I'm going to go. And then our business kind of that we were doing exploded, so much in fact that we had more business than we'd ever had in a short period of time, and I had to hire somebody while I was going to be gone just in order to take care of it. You know, God provides. His provision is there. I told the DC class last week, you know, when I was your age, I had no plans to be doing what I'm doing here today. I never in my wildest dreams envisioned sitting there teaching, you know, junior high kids about Jesus, sharing my story with them. And yet, that's what God has done. That's where God has brought me. God has given me purpose and calling and vision and mission to join him in his work. Now, I want to tell you, don't imagine that I have it all figured out right now, or that I know exactly what the future holds, because I don't. I really don't. But I do know that God is with me, that the God of Jacob is with us, and the Lord is going to lead and guide every step of the way. It gives me confidence and courage and comfort to know that. So I'm sharing that with you because it's my reality, it's my story, it's my experience. And that's how you can be a blessing in someone's life as well, with your story of what God is doing in your life right now, yours and mine. You know, we, during this Lent series, we've had opportunity to hear from some of you in the congregation, some of your stories. And it's been amazing, I think, just to see how God is at work in your life. It encourages, it inspires, and it gives each one of us hope that we too might know this God who is made known in Jesus. So how do we tell our stories naturally and normally? How does it work? Well, there's a story in John 3 about Jesus and this guy named Nicodemus. And Nicodemus has been following Jesus around. He's been watching him at work. But Nicodemus is part of this ruling council, and he doesn't really want to be found out as a Jesus follower. It might kind of like tarnish his image with those that he normally hangs out with. So he goes to Jesus at night, and he begins to talk with him, and Jesus begins to share his story, Jesus' story, about who he is and what it means to trust him and how to come back to God through Jesus. And we read this in John 3. Jesus said, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." And Nicodemus doesn't get that. He goes into this whole conversation about how can you be born again? I was born once. What am I supposed to do? Climb back into my mother's womb and be born again? And Jesus says, no, not that way. Jesus explains to him that there needs to be not just a physical birth, but a spiritual birth. that we need to be born physically, but born again, born a new spiritual life. And that comes through faith in Jesus Christ. He says, flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to the Spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. So having this new life that comes through faith in Jesus. And he tells him how he can have this. And then he goes on to say, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him, to bring those who are far from God back home to be with God. So Nicodemus is expressing this spiritual interest in Jesus. So Jesus shares his story. He shares who he is. He shares what he's about and how Nicodemus can find his way back to God. And that's the second S in this last part of the Bless mission strategy, sharing your story. And it's necessary in order to be a blessing. The Bible says, how can they, those who don't know Jesus, call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have not heard him? And how can they hear about him unless someone, what? Tells them. Yeah, someone, at some point, we gotta say the words. You know, we have to tell the story about who Jesus is. So, for those who are close to you, those are the ones that Jesus has placed in your life so that you can be the one to share that story when the time comes. Dave Ferguson, he tells the story of a woman who used to be self-described as an atheist. She felt you had to be simple-minded and uninformed to believe in Jesus. Now she's a committed follower, and if you ask her how that change happened in her life, she would tell you about intellectual and philosophical arguments for the faith in Christ that swayed her. She wouldn't tell you that. She never had any trouble dismissing all of that in her mind. And you know, it's interesting because a lot of us think, I don't know what to say. I don't know all the arguments. You know, I have to study more in order to know all the answers so that I can, tell them about it. But oftentimes it's not the argument that sways someone. You know, maybe those will come back to them later, but it's the story of how God is at work in your life right now that intrigues people. For this woman, what she would tell you about is how a close friend of hers told her how Christ had changed her life. See, she said she didn't know what to do with that. It just kind of sat there inside her, tugging at her. She would say that her friend's story sort of lived in her heart and mind for years, and that in her moments when she wrestled with the idea of a God who loved her, it was her friend's story of what God had done in her life that made all the difference. You know, for me, it's my sister's story. As she shared about this close, personal friendship with Jesus. And I just didn't have a framework to understand that story. And so I wrestled with that, and I kept talking to her about it, but it just made me think she was crazy until the time came when I needed to know, is there a God? Is he real? Does he love me? And at that moment, that story became real in my life. It is real in my life because it's real in hers. So how do we tell our story simply, naturally, normally? Well, here's some questions that are posed by the author Rick Richardson to think about our story. And when in your life was God most real to you? Think about that. When did you most experience God, know God to be real? When has your encounter with Jesus been most influential? When has it directed or guided your life? Or when have you most connected to the reality of the spiritual side of life? You know, oftentimes we think about the physical and all the things that involves, but when has the spiritual side of life impacted you? And those are the places where your story becomes crucial to learn and to share with others. These are the most relevant areas that are going to guide others in their spiritual journey. And so what really matters in a broken world is your story. Sharing how Jesus has made a difference for good in your life. That's what makes a profound impact on others. People connect with your story and begin to see that Jesus makes a difference for good in the world, in your world. Now remember what the research says about those who are not yet followers of Jesus. 75% of them say that you and I don't talk enough about our faith with them. So your friends and your coworkers and your relatives and fellow students, they actually want to know more about your walk with Jesus. They may talk about faith as untrue or irrelevant or boring, but they don't see you as untrue or irrelevant or boring. They want to know what you believe and how it has changed you for good. So we're discovering ordinary ways in order to communicate God's love and the message of salvation naturally through these blessed strategies. So let's run through them one more time, since this is the end of our series, but we're hoping to continue to practice these normal and natural ways to share Christ with others. So we begin with what? Prayer, exactly. Ask God to show us how he's at work in the lives of those around us. And then we what? Listen with care. We listen to their story. That's an exciting part of this. And then we eat together. That's right. We chow down and spend time together. And then we, what? Serve. We serve with love. We meet their needs and allow them to reciprocate that. And then finally, what do? We share our story. We tell them what Jesus has done in our life, how he's changed us. So the basic outline is pretty simple. What was your life like before you met Jesus? What happened to bring you to faith in him? And then how has your life changed since meeting Jesus? Before, what happened? What's your life like now? And maybe that's a conversion story. Maybe that's just simply a part of something that's happening today in your life currently. But let me ask you this. Has it been a while since you've told your story? Has it been a while? Have you ever told your story about faith in Jesus? Let me ask it a different way. Are you feeling like the Christian life is losing some zip for you? Are you feeling like maybe you're in a spiritual rut? You know, when that happens, oftentimes it's traced back to one important factor, and that is that we're keeping our faith to ourselves. When we begin to give our faith away, when we begin to share it, we begin to experience that dynamic life of the Holy Spirit in us, encouraging us and equipping us to share Christ's mission. There's nothing that will energize you and I more in our faith than when we share it with someone else. York Moore, he writes this, that faith stagnates when it's kept to yourself. When you share it with others, the Holy Spirit energizes you and awakens you to experience life as God intended. Ordinary people can participate in extraordinary encounters when we follow God's leading to people who need to hear about Jesus. That's why I love the Alpha Course, because we're sharing our stories about how God is at work in our lives. And when we do, others are hearing it, and faith is growing, and it's so exciting to be a part of that. Jesus says, the Bible says, but in your heart, set aside Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Do this with gentleness and respect. You know, always be ready to share your story. Always be ready to share that hope. The big question really becomes for most of us is, what is our hope? Has Jesus changed your life? Has Jesus changed your life? Is there a before your faith in Jesus and a after your faith in Jesus? Has anything changed? If you're having a hard time answering that question, is it possible that you have never really, honestly met Jesus? and allowed him to change your life? You know, Jesus does change lives, including yours and mine. And so if you haven't experienced this new birth that the gospel talks about with Jesus and Nicodemus, if you haven't experienced that life of Christ in you that gives you hope and energizes you and moves you for compassion for others, then maybe the invitation is simply to ask Jesus to give you a story. To come to that moment of saying, Lord, I want you to come into my life. I want you to change me. Fill me with that new life that only you give. If that's where you're at, then I invite you to do that. Just simply say, Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me, cleanse me, wash me, make me new. Change my life. And the Lord will do that. God does that. And then begin to share that story with others and begin to know that life of Christ. You will have a real story to tell, a story of a changed life, because it's your life. And if Jesus has changed your life, then join him in the mission of bringing people who are far from God back to him. And let the main focus of your life become blessing the world. So we begin with prayer, we listen, we eat, we serve, and we share our story when the time is right. So remember that new statistic. 50% of people who are not followers of Jesus would attend a worship service if a friend invited them to go with. And guess what? We have a worship service next week. It's called Easter. A couple of them. And there's an invitation in your bulletin here that is an invitation that says, we want to celebrate Easter with you. And so I invite you to share your faith by simply extending an invitation to come to worship together this Easter. And people are generally much more open to worship on Easter and on Christmas. And so the invitation is out there. If you invite two people, statistics say one of them are coming with you. And so you can invite them for breakfast and stay for worship. Or come to worship and stay for breakfast. There's some more flyers out on the little table back there. I encourage you to grab another one if you want and just share that this year. You know, the only reason that we're still breathing right now is to engage in God's mission. To ask God, how do you want to use me to bless the people in my life? Who do you want me to share my story with this week? Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your story, Lord, that through it we come to faith, and the stories that of those who have shared their faith with us in order for us to come to believe. It could be a Sunday school teacher. It could be a friend, a relative, a parent. Lord, whoever that is, we thank you so much for their faithful witness to us. And now, Lord, change us, Lord, that we may have a story and that we may have that story to tell, so that those who don't yet know you, who are far from you, may come home, who may come, Lord, to know you as their Lord, their forgiver, their leader. In Jesus' name, amen.